can't do it.
I'm doing the podcast.
We'll do it live.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Giants fans, welcome to Big Blue All Year, the podcast that brings you New York Football Giants content all year long. While your hosts toe-tap the line between podcast professionals and a bunch of fanatics talking shit at the end of the bar. Tonight's episode of Big Blue All Year is not brought to you by anyone. Insert sponsor here. Don't forget to follow on Twitter at Big Blue All Year and rate and subscribe wherever podcasts are found. Adult content ahead, because you know we're doing it live! It's April 12th, 17 days away from the 2021 NFL Draft in the beautiful Cleveland, Ohio. This is only part one of our draft breakdown, the state of the draft, if you will. And there's a lot to break down. But first, let's get through the headlines. And for that, we get into a segment that lets my distinguished partner stick on a headline to talk about or kick it to the next one. Sue, Biggie.
What up?
Disciple.
You.
Answer me that age-old playground taunt. Are you kicking it or are you sticking it? Up first, I'm just a baby.
I'm just a baby.
So apparently, there is an article out that Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie and GM Howie Roseman ridiculed and criticized Doug Peterson's every decision and quote-unquote treated the ex-head coach like a baby. So when Max shared that this morning, I immediately messaged you all demanding this be put in the episode because that is simply pathetic and easily the biggest laughing, why they're the biggest laughing stock in the league dating back to last season. Thank you so much, Mac. They suck. Fuck the Eagles. Back to you.
Can I kick it?
Former Giant is in the news for the worst possible reason.
Yes, it's unfortunate that we have to acknowledge that Travis Rudolph, who was known as the Giants wide receiver who sat with the autistic boy in the lunchroom, happened to get charged with murder. And I'll leave it at that. Mac, back.
Can I kick it?
Brandon Marshall recalls his quote unquote most awkward moment.
So the burger's going to stick this. So Brandon Marshall appeared on the first episode of Soup with Coop, Coop being Eli's older brother, Cooper Manning. And he goes on to recount a play where Eli Manning throws a terrible ball and like Odell's pissed. So Brandon Marshall walks up to Eli, you know, granted, this is something he's done with his other quarterbacks in the past, Jay Cutler, Ryan Fitzpatrick. So Eli's face is buried in the iPad and Brandon goes up to him and says, Eli, that was a terrible pass. What are you thinking? What are you doing? And obviously it was a joke, you know, like help him get over the shitty pass. And of course, Eli Manning, that beautiful idiot that he is, just looks at Brandon Marshall and doesn't say anything. And apparently it was like the most awkward interaction ever. And Coop goes on to say, like, he was fucking with you. So like how he turned the tables on him. But Eli, never change. Back to you,
no,
Matt.
He stuck the landing.
Reggie Ragland making an impact off the field.
I will just say Reggie Ragland was in his hometown raising funds, fighting hunger. We appreciate your off the field contributions, Reggie.
Can I kick it?
Daniel Jones named a 2020 make or break player.
This is a dumb headline. This is so obvious.
Can kick it?
The oldest living former New York Giant has passed away.
I'm going to briefly stick it. Just we did lose Herb Johnson at the age of 92. He played one season for the Giants. He was the oldest living Giant. And you know what they say? Once a Giant, always a Giant. God bless. Rest in peace.
No, he stuck the landing.
The Lord taketh away, but he also giveth.
Oh, don't you know? Happy birthday to Graham Gano. And also, happy birthday, Nate Solder, I guess.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
That does it for this week's headlines. And now a word from our non-sponsor.
Tonight's episode of Big Blue All Year is not brought to you by Yelp. Yelp connects people with great local businesses, like Eric's Top 10 Flowers, by giving a voice to consumers, bringing the word of mouth online. Here are some of those voices. Fart Sniffer is not available.
Top 10 shits, maybe. Complete no-shows from this bust of a business. Delivery scheduled for 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 8 p.m. on Sundays, even some Monday and Thursday orders.
didn't show up. Zero stars.
Chonkster 420.
I ordered the flowers for my fiance. He sent the fucking funeral arrangement over here. Oh!
Sweet Cheeks 69.
You know, I had my anniversary with my wife, and of course it landed on a Sunday, and this is past September, and Eric's top 10 flowers simply didn't show up to play when it was open on their website. 0 out of 10 would recommend not going back to that bum shop.
Yelp, bringing communities together, one comment at a time. And now, back to the show.
Mr. Disciple?
Yes?
The state of the draft.
Gentlemen, welcome to the draft special. That's right, this is part one of the Road to the Draft series, specially presented by Big Blue All Year. Tonight we're going to go through the 6-round picks and the 4th-round pick. But first, I just want to talk about a little bit of how I put together these kind of things and how we want to match up needs with pick value. So it's more that positions that aren't really of immediate need, we're going to stick to them in the later rounds. That's our tertiary needs. Next part will be secondary. First will be primary. And those are matched up with the picks. I created a color-coded system of positions, and I gave each a need score. Should I read them off, boys?
Well, thank God it's color-coded.
Lay it on me, baby.
All right, so the least amount of need would be quarterback and safeties. And D-line, although D-line is creeping up, but it crept back down once we signed Danny Shelton. So that's still in the tertiary needs. Secondary needs are going to be our skill positions, such as wide receiver, tight end, running back, and we'll throw a cornerback in there, honestly. Primary needs, off-ball linebacker slash edge, offensive line, of course, focusing on the interior of the offensive line. So without further ado, head to pick 201. Start from the bottom, head to the top.
Drop that, Drake. Is that a hip-hop reference? I know that one.
Well, I feel like it's imperative, you know, that we get this pick right at number 6.
Who you got, Burger?
I got Jamar Jefferson, a running back out of Oregon State. He's 5'10", 217 pounds. The guy gets tough yards on the ground. In 6 games last season, he had 858 rushing yards and 7 touchdowns. So the reason he's falling so much in this draft is because he's only had 18 catches the past 2 seasons, so he's very one-dimensional. But the guy averaged 6.45 yards per carry. Like, you know, the guy gets his. So he seems like a meatball out there. So I'll take that, like, you know, a little maybe Jerome Bettis out there just fucking mashing bodies, you know. Maybe a little goal on. You never know.
With this many paisans on one podcast, you bring up meatball and we're going to immediately be okay with that pick. Even though I'm on record as saying I do not want us to use a pick on a running back. But that's just me.
Well, who do you have, Mac?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Burger. So I believe the Giants are going to feel a lot of positivity from some of the, I mean, frankly, let's call it luck. I'm sure Gettleman would disagree with that characterization, but with filling up some of the linebacker position with depth picks. So you're going to see a theme from me here. And, you know, based on how I think the first couple of rounds are going to go as well, want to make sure we're keeping that in mind. So without further ado, my pick, Justin Hilliard, and not just because, although not related, I do love the name Hilliard. Who doesn't love a good Ike Hilliard? But linebacker out of Ohio State, 6'1", 231, coming off a really terrific season for the Buckeyes. And you always want to be cautious with a guy that, you know, doesn't have a big pedigree, comes out of nowhere, and all of a sudden has one good season. But on the flip side, we're looking for, you know, high potential at a position of need with a 6-round draft day. So what do you want? And some of this scouting community says, you know, seems like he offers potential in the sense as he's going to be a utility defender and scheme versatile. So you want to ask me what I think a Patrick Graham defense needs in the 6th round? It's a situational linebacker who can do a couple of different things and big time program. So I'll take a roll of the dice on that.
I do like Justin Hilliard. The one knock on him though, is he is 24 years old going into the draft.
Yikes.
But he probably doesn't have that much mileage on him. So it's kind of a trade-off there. So I'm going to go with a similar high upside defensive guy. His name is a cornerback out of South Carolina, Israel Mukuamu. Have you guys heard of this guy?
My name's amazing, though.
True.
Okay, so he's out of South Carolina. He's got absolutely prototypical size for a cornerback, dude. He's 6'4", 80-inch wingspan.
What?
Yes.
He's playing the right sport?
Yes. 6'4", 212, 80 and 3/4-inch wingspan. That's insane.
Do you know what that time is?
So one thing my football coach always used to say, he's like, you can't teach size. And it's true. I mean, dude, and that this is an upside kind of guy. You know what I mean? Depth slash upside, of course. You know, you're not expecting anything from him in the first year or two, but this could be the CB2 of the future. You never know.
I mean, Disciple, I hate to bring him up given, you know, he is now a convicted felon, if memory serves, but Brandon Browner was that dude for the Seahawks. I mean, I don't know many cornerbacks that are 6'4" outside of him. You know, maybe I'm just not educated enough, but I would love me that pick. I dig
it's that. Very rare size for a corner. He could also translate to a safety in the pros as well. That's what people say.
I would say that height seems like it would translate there.
Honestly, I don't know. A guy 6'4" versus like what's Mike Evans 6'3"? Like,
I think Mike Evans
would probably destroy that guy because he's a raw college player right now.
Right, but we're talking about the 6th round picks. Our second of our two 6th round picks. You want to take a role on high upside athletic profiles. I mean, again, I don't know the guy. You're the expert here, but I think the potential of a 6'4" corner in the 6th round, that's something I'm willing
at 212 too.
Oh, so yeah, he's not.
He's got some meat. Well, actually, Surtain is 208 at 6'2". That's an elite corner.
A top 10 pick, though.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on to 196 then, boys.
I guess I'm up next. I will go Chris Rumpf, if I pronounce that right, the second. Rumpus time is over.
That's a great line. What's it from?
Step Brothers.
Yeah, you're right. Rumpus time is over.
All right, so this motherfucker is 6'4", 235 out of Duke. He's got a lot of upside. He can end up being one of the best edge rushers in the draft, I think. He might not be an edge-setting defender at the next level, but he possesses enough size to rush from the perimeter. He had 14.5 sacks and 25 tackles for loss the past two seasons. It's kind of like a Carter Coughlin pick in my mind. Like he flashed a lot in college to see if, like, we'll see if it translates in the pros. But he gets his, that's for sure.
Mac?
I love me some Blue Devils. But
more Duke players. That's also a thing.
That's the Giants key need to the success. Yeah.
Well, honestly, in my opinion, I think Chris Rumpf will be gone by 196. I do think that it's a possibility that the other Duke edge rusher in this draft, Victor Dimukeje,
Nope.
Have you heard of him?
No. And don't look at me for help with the name.
Okay. Well, he's also out of Duke, and he's projected a little bit higher, but I a little bit lower, but I think he might be around for the Giants at 196. But that's a great prospect to name, Berger. I'm gonna go with my prospect, and I have said it last time. I'm gonna say it again. I love Jarrett Patterson. If he is there at 196, I am not counting on him being there. I think there's about a 20-30% chance that he will be there. I'd love to take him. Him, Elijah Mitchell out of Louisiana. These are Wayne Gallman's replacement slash. I'd really like in the 6th at 196.
Well, what type of player is he, Disciple? Give us some deviations.
Jarrett Patterson's kind of undersized when it comes to height, but he's a big dog when it comes to stoutness and strength. I remember we used to – all right, so I'm going to take us back to college. We played football with this guy, Mac. I don't know if you remember. He was like this little – you call him that little muscle ball. Like this guy, this little muscle ball is beating us. That's what he reminds me of, this Jared Patterson. The bowling ball out of Buffalo. He's 5'6", 195.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's tiny. Like
that's size. Also already the nickname, right? The Buffalo bowling ball.
Is that?
Oh, no. I meant like if the Giants draft him, that's absolutely what I will refer to him as.
Okay. That's cool with me.
He's not a big fan of alliteration.
Not a speedster. 4.58 40 yard.
So he's pretty much a Jerome Bettis undersized.
Yes. But I think that's a good compliment to what you have with Saquon Barkley and Devontae Booker going into 2021. It really depends on your philosophy. You know what I mean? Do you want the best results for 2021? Or, you know, are you taking more of a long-term approach at some kind of places? You know what I mean? Because there's certain picks, like, I'll even say at 11, totally off topic, certain picks at 11 that would be great for right now, but maybe aren't in the best interest of the long-term longevity of the sustainability of the roster, boys. But I digress.
Let me ask you that question, though, for the two picks you just mentioned, because you brought it up in the context of trying to choose between these two picks. Do you feel one has a higher floor versus higher potential than the other? And follow-up question, both of them, Patterson and Mitchell, are on the board with the Giants' 196th pick. Do you have – who's your –
Jared Patterson.
Yeah? The bowling ball?
Absolutely. There's people that think that he will be like the gem of this draft of the running back position. Like, you know,
that's crazy. How many players in the NFL do you like think of that are meatballs now, or like, you know, just like big, powerful running backs? I feel like they've not like died off, but it's just not a common thing anymore.
But he's not big.
Is he just like?
Is it possible? In my head, what you're describing, and as you're asking this question, Berger. What keeps coming to mind is Maurice Jones-Drew.
He plays so much bigger than his size. You're exactly right. I think he'll get a good nickname, too. I don't know if it's going to be Bowling Ball. But I think it'll be a pretty good fucking nickname on him. It's all right.
Just roll him into the end zone. It's a strike every time.
Are we ready to talk 116 or what?
I mean, I didn't get my
one. Yeah, I don't think Matt gave his one.
But, you know, fuck me, right?
Oh, wait, you didn't? I'm sorry. I should have let you go. I kind of just jumped. You know what? You've been jumping on us the whole podcast, like, since the since the inception.
This is your world, baby. We're just sitting in it.
Only this time.
All right, Matt, who you got?
Am I allowed to go?
Yes.
Okay. I'll keep it tight. My buddy, big Boilermaker fan. He's been talking about this guy for me for a while. I can't tell you I've watched many Purdue football games in the last few years, but I told you you're going to see a theme here. I'm continuing with the linebackers. So Derek Barnes, I think he's really underrated. A couple of different drafts and reportings have him going in this range. But he, again, scheme versatile. So can play a couple of different roles in a Patrick Graham defense, and he's short. It sounds like perhaps he is already filled out athletically, but I'm just going to throw out a couple of the buzzwords. I collected a couple of profiles from some of the various people who do such things. Vicious attitude, easily changes direction, brings down bigger ball handlers. That's odd out of context. Or tight ends in space. Devastating run defender.
Ooh, I love that.
I'll take any of those things.
Devastating.
Yeah, it's just.
What a fantastic adjective to describe a defensive player. Devastating.
Fantastic. So, I mean, if he's half of those things, you know, I'll take vicious and devastating or a bigger ball handler.
Yeah, I was going to say your ball handler, right?
No, either way, I'm cool. So, Derek Barnes, linebacker, Purdue, that's who I got.
Love it. All right, moving on to 116, that is in the fourth round, gentlemen. So, let's go to the burger.
The burger, all right, and I know we discussed this earlier. He might go in the third round, but I'm hoping he's in the fourth. It is Walker Little, and he is not so little, everyone. He is 6'7", 320 pounds, O-tackle out of Stanford. He was highly touted first-round projections back in 2019, but a slew of injuries ruined that campaign. He elected to not go in the draft in 2020 and opted out of the season. So he is falling as a prospect into the mid-rounds now. You know, I think you could take a gamble on a project left tackle, right tackle. It never hurts. We always need swing tackles anyway. And the guy's got size. Like, that's going to play in the NFL. So it just depends if he's healthy. What do you got, Mac?
Well, you know, one thing on Walker Little, Chris Sims, for those of you, I used to bust his chops despite him being a Sims. Because he was just sort of a freaking dork when he first got into broadcast. It just seemed like a, yeah, my daddy's a football player and I played football for like a year or two before I, you know, ruptured my spleen. But I don't mean to be hateful on Chris Sims because I actually think he's developed phenomenally and is a great analyst. And he does a series on YouTube breaking down. So Walker Little, I guess all of this is to say, Chris Sims said that Walker Little, the tape that he got to watch on him, was the best and most clean tape, I believe, if I'm not misquoting, of any offensive line prospect he has ever seen. The issue is, you know, he hasn't played in 2 years. So, anywho, point being, I'm all in for that upside burger. I like the pick.
Thank you.
Yes. So, for my round four, I really had a difficult time. I think this is where it gets interesting based on what the Giants do for the first three picks. So, keeping that in mind, I went with... I'm going to butcher this name, but Amir Smith Marset, I believe.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Excellent. Wide receiver out of Iowa, lean guy, 6'1", 179. But again, it's still fourth round pick. I'm going with upside. I do believe that the Giants are going to double dip in the wide receiver market. And he's been inconsistent, but they say he's got high upside. He's not going to have to step in and contribute immediately. It'd be great if he did. And he's got experience as a kick returner. So high upside athletic profile, who has consistently been hyped up, yet just hasn't produced yet. I think there's an opportunity he could find a role in the Giants wide receiver room. Worst case scenario, return depth.
Nice. So I have two prospects for us at 116.
I'll allow it. I'll
surprise. They're both Georgia Bulldogs. First, I'll go with Ben Cleveland, the guard out of Georgia. At 6'6", 343, he seems like a very tasty hog for Dave Gettleman. You got to love that. So that's if they don't go, you know, but I see them doubling up on interior offensive line, even maybe with like first and fourth or second and third, whatever they do, it needs to be done. And the other one, I will go off-ball linebacker, Monty Rice, out of Georgia, who I believe will be there at 116. The Giants don't have picks for a long time. From 116 to 196, that's a huge gap. Let's, you know, they might want to take somebody that they might want to reach for, because this guy's definitely not coming back where we were, or they trade back and maybe take a guy like that, because I think I've seen Monty Rice in like maybe like the 130s range. So you move back like seven picks and you get a little get a fifth and maybe a little more, and you know, yeah, you gotta hope so, but I don't see it happening. So I'm just gonna stick with those two. Another guy you like to see at 116 would be Tyler Shelvin, defensive tackle out of LSU. Another hog for Dave. Why not? Fourth round pick's a sweet spot for the Hogs. But that just about wraps up our segment here, guys. We have eclipsed the first or the last three picks of the draft. This concludes part one of Path to the Draft, Road to the Draft.
And that leads us right to a new segment called Gauging Gettleman. We got three episodes and three drafts to gauge. Up first, 2018. Giants had six draft picks, two of them third rounders, no sixth and no seventh. So in order, the Giants draft was Saquon Barkley, Will Hernandez, Lorenzo Carter, BJ Hill, Kyle LaLetta, and RJ McIntosh. All right, gentlemen, what did he get right?
Yeah, that's a joke, bro. Dude, just what you named, looking back at this draft, it's hard to get excited about any of those players. No offense to Saquon. I know you had a great 1.5 years and then another year and a half of being injured, but I guess that's my favorite pick. What would you guys go with?
Yeah, I mean, dude, I don't think there's any other answer.
Does this change your opinion that technically Sam Beal was a 2018 supplemental draft pick? How about that guy?
Kind of counts, but not really.
Does it help?
Not at all, because I haven't seen jack shit from Sam Beal.
Well, the funny part is when you ask me what they did wrong and who the worst pick was, I'm going to pick Sam Beal right now.
Nah, I'd pick LaLetta easily.
What was he?
Without a doubt. I mean, without a doubt, it's Kyle LaLetta.
I agree 1,000%.
There's no argument here. Like,
okay, so hold on. I will make a slight defense of what he got right, and then we can turn up the roast machine here. Berger, you said your favorite pick is Barkley. I understand why. I don't think the story of Lorenzo Carter is written just yet. And I do remember a lot of talk from, I believe, you disciple in the offseason about how Strahan was a guy who took multiple years to get started and having any impact. I'm not saying Carter's the guy, but he's a third rounder. He was starting to turn it on last year before an injury. We might be able to re-sign him cheap, and he's got some potential later in his career. So I'm still high on Low Carter, frankly. But I don't know if there's anything else. BJ Hill
he's still playing somehow. He should have a role this year.
Very well could. RJ McIntosh could. I'm not even.
He's literally like the 53rd man on this roster.
Yeah, I can't even defend that one. BJ Hill and Lorenzo Carter and Will Hernandez could. The story is not complete. That's all I'll say.
It just sucks that, like, with Hernandez especially, like, to trend up so hard your rookie year and then to just
lose
trend to
job.
So blah, so mediocre, that, like, just stunningly average, like, not even really, like, it's just not where it needs to be, unfortunately. Two bad years after a pretty good rookie year.
Getting benched for a fifth round pick, yikes.
Well, it's because he's better in the run game, Lemieux, but he can't pass protect too well.
Hernandez. Mediocre is the right word. Maybe slightly less than mediocre, but so okay. Worst pick. Is it possible to say he got everything wrong about this draft?
Yeah, well, it's easy to say that. I'm counting Sam Beal as part of this draft because I know he's a supplemental pick, but the guy's played 6 games in 3 years. You know, two are injury filled. One of them, he sat out. Like, this guy is worthless. Like, we gave up a pick for this. Like, this is his make.
No, we didn't give up a pick. We got a pick because we let somebody go beforehand.
Well, either you lose a third. Third rounder anyway. For
he was like the best player in the supplemental draft.
Oh, really? Because I haven't seen him play at all.
I mean, that's what they said.
So who's your worst pick? Come on, enlighten me.
LaLetta, dude. I told you.
There's no question that it's LaLetta.
Dude, that's a fourth round pick for a guy. That's all that couldn't complete a pass against the Redskins.
No, sorry. Stop. That's all you had to say. For you said everything when you just said they used a fourth round pick for a guy, period.
Yeah.
They're better off me. The fuck, when I was 13 or scrubbing toilets for $7 an hour, I was better on the Giants than LaLetta.
The biggest headline he made was a traffic incident. You know,
in Weehawken, in New Jersey.
Fourth round, you know, the prolific powerhouse of the Richmond Spiders were always going to create.
It's Bill Belichick. You know, he was about him. That's why.
No, exactly. That's why all draft talk is bullshit. It's all blown smoke up everybody's ass. If Bill Belichick said he wanted that guy.
So my contention, though, for worst pick You know, I'm going to save it. I think it fits better on the redo. So, boys, you have one choice. Who and where 2008 redo. There's so many looks.
Well, I think you mean 2018, not 2008, but...
That's correct.
It's obviously got to be Josh Allen instead of Saquon Barkley. Like, he's a transcending player in the league now who's going to be a superstar, if he's not already a superstar, and he could just have taken over for
you. Hold on. I mean, are you sure you would want to take Josh Allen at number two overall? And the reason why I'm asking this is, first and second year Josh Allen on the 2018-2019 Giants is a bad look. And I think that a lot of y'all Giants fans would have ran that motherfucker out of town. He would have been like Sam Darnold right now. Think about that. Could have been like that. Yep.
Catch me outside. How about that? I don't know. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I know, but what do you know?
And next thing you know, Josh Allen is on OnlyFans, you know.
Yeah, or he's the backup for Mitchell Trubisky on the Bills. You never know how it would play out.
Yeah, wow. That would be so unfortunate for him if the Giants did him like that. Instead, we're doing Daniel Jones like that. Stay tuned. Ugh.
So what would you guys grade that shit?
I'm just going to go too, if you don't mind, real quick.
Oh, fuck, dude. I'm sorry.
It's all good. You fucking hear me today. Okay, so my pick, I'm going to say a few names to you, and then I'm going to say my pick. Firstly, would you not want a Nick Chubb, Darius Leonard, Braden Smith, Cortland Sutton? All of those people went in the picks following Will Hernandez, but that's not even the biggest one for me. If I had a redo, the Giants had two third-round picks, both of coming in the early part of the third round. Fred Warner, linebacker to the 49ers, who is phenomenal, went 70th overall, a pick after the Giants took BJ Hill. That dude would be unquestionably the best linebacker on the Giants, even with Blake Martinez. And we all know how we feel about Blake. So for me, Fred Warner, 100%. That's my redo.
I'd absolutely have to concur with the Mac man. I love Fred Warner. Stud linebacker.
Mm-hmm, yes.
All right, boys, grade it and let's get out of here.
Like, it's got to be an F, right?
I give it a D+.
It's a horrible draft.
Ooh. Yeah, me too. I also am giving it a D+. A D+! I'm going to graduate.
Can I ask you guys this question? Do you think that any one of these players that we drafted warrants getting a second contract right now? That, in my mind, is why the Giants are in the state they're in, because I don't think any one of them right now could be coming back on a second contract. And that means we just wasted a draft.
Well, when you put it like that, no, there is nobody who definitely should be paid a second contract. I would agree.
Thank you.
That's so sad.
I know. I'm sorry to be very like.
Yeah, what the fuck? Grim Reaper. Fucking Grim Reaper over here.
There's an asterisk, though. This comment, we're going to revisit this. We're going to revisit this in 1 year from now, because either Berger could still be very right, or it could all turn around. It could all be BJ Hill.
What if all these players get healthy for once?
Yeah, Saquon's all world. Kyle Letta comes back. I don't know.
And Beal plays a game.
Right? Yeah. Oh my God, so many looks. I have a good feeling that I know exactly where we're all going to be a year from now. And that is probably revisiting this conversation to see if Berger is, unfortunately, which he most likely is, absolutely right. Or maybe it all turns around and BJ Hill's an all pro. Kyle Letta comes back. Who knows? You know, anything's possible. But so many looks. And that was part one of gauging Gettleman. And if you haven't figured it out by now, folks, we are possessed by the spirits that reside at 1925 Giants Drive. But hey, even they make mistakes. So let's exorcise tonight's demons with the shaman. I've been drinking green tea all goddamn day.
You gonna bring the demons out of me? Well, the only one getting exercised tonight is myself. I was late with the episode. That's my fault. Something's got in the way. Well, got a lot coming this week, so buckle up, Giants fans.
I have exorcised the demon.
All right, all you dreamers and creamers. Let's end tonight with the facts that these draft prospects just simply aren't aware. The Giants are young.
They're aggressive.
They're improving.
New York.
Football.
Giants.
Nice. I love it. For Berger, the disciple, and the shaman, I'm Matt. We're Big Blue all year. Good night.